Chapter 3
"Corporal Grant?" I asked, as we stared at the curly-haired soldier. We hadn't seen her since our time in Peterborough, when we had to help the military at the power plant retrieve their chief engineer. Back then, she'd been the very image of soldier stoicism, with a tight, neat bun and a composed demeanor, but now the corporal's face was sweaty and covered in small scratches. The bloodstains on her pants looked like it didn't belong to her, and her bright hazel eyes were bloodshot with exhaustion. Her dirty blonde curls framed her sharp cheekbones perfectly, though, and I couldn't help but notice how beautiful she looked despite the mess of blood and battle. She wore the apocalyptic look very well.
"What are you doing here?"
Becca gasped.
"How the hell did you find us?"
"Are you hurt?" I asked, as the shock wore off, and I rushed over to the soldier.
"I've been worse,"
Grant said.
"And please call me Cat. There's no need for any formality bullshit anymore."
I was a little taken aback by the statement, but I couldn't help grinning a bit as hearing her first name suddenly cast her in a much more approachable light. "Cat it is," I replied, and the corporal smiled a little.
"Here,"
Haywan said, as she fumbled around in her pack, and she eventually produced a half-empty pack of wet wipes before she came over to join us. The pretty soldier took the offering gratefully and started cleaning the dirt from her face. The locals from the bridge watched silently, clearly startled by the sudden arrival of a beaten-up army official who seemed to know us. I didn't blame them. I was startled by the corporal's sudden arrival, too, and I had actually fought alongside her before. I glanced at her jeep, and I noted all the small dents and dirt that encased it. The journey from Peterborough had been treacherous enough with three of us traveling together, and I didn't want to imagine doing that trip solo. Knowing Kat had pulled it off was almost as impressive as how few injuries she had to show for it. Then again, Corporal Grant had proven herself to be a badass in Peterborough, and I was curious to find out what had made her drive all the way to find us. "Well," I sighed, as I ran a hand through my hair. "I guess we need to catch up. I have a feeling this is quite the story."
"But Jason,"
Becca said quietly, and I saw her glance at the bridge. "We will get to your mom," I said reassuringly, and I reached out a hand to stroke her golden hair.
"I'm sorry to hold up your mission,"
Kat said, and she gave Becca a sympathetic look.
"I promise I'm not here to bring you back to Wolston."
"Okay,"
Becca said, and I knew it was hard for her to accept more holdups.
"You look like you went through a shitload to get here."
"That's one way of putting it,"
Kat nodded as she wiped off the last of the dirt from her cheek. It was good to see her face properly again. Her high cheekbones were tanned, and her hazel eyes had flecks of bright green in the sunlight. Gray said from behind us with a polite cough.
"So the grenade and stuff, are we still talking about that?"
"Grenade?"
Kat asked with a raised eyebrow. "We're doing a bit of bargaining," I explained. "Hey, Gray, we just need a few moments with the corporal to catch up, okay? Be right with you."
"Sure,"
the short-haired woman replied meekly. It seemed that Kat's presence had intimidated the bridge group, and I was secretly grateful. It meant they would be more likely to trust us if they knew we were with an army official. "Let's walk," I said, and Corporal Grant nodded. I led the girls away from Larry and the rest of the locals to the left side dam. I saw Kat's eyes flicker over the man-made structure, and she didn't even seem interested in the story behind it. I imagined the things she had encountered on her journey made the bridge pale in comparison. Haywan and Becca walked on my right, and Kat strolled on my left. Even though we all knew each other, it felt strange to have a fourth person walk with our little group. We kept a careful eye out for any signs of dinos as we walked, and I made sure not to stray too far from our precious bikes. Although, with the corporal here, I got the feeling the locals wouldn't try anything cocky. We all kept our weapons close, and I prepared myself for whatever news Kat had from down south. "So," I said as we stopped and formed a small circle, Kat, what's going on?"
"Where do I begin?"
Kat sighed as she pushed a curl behind her ear and glanced over her shoulder.
"Things down south have gone, well, I guess you could say they've gone south."
"At the power plant?"
Haywan asked.
"Everywhere,"
Kat said.
The dinosaurs are appearing at a rate that we can't keep up with. Things were already bad when you guys were down there. I would say the number of attacks have at least tripled.
Shit,
Becca breathed.
They really are growing in numbers, aren't they?
We've seen nests, I said with a nod. Raptors and Triceratops eggs. And we saw both in the span of one day, today, in fact.
Eggs?
Cat asked with raised eyebrows, and I guessed she hadn't encountered any nests yet. Yup, I said. We were just talking about it before you arrived. I reckon the dinos are settling in.
Shit.
Cat whistled.
That's all we need. Like I said, the fully grown bastards are multiplying fast enough as it is. Last thing we need is many versions running riot.
So what happened at the power plant?
Becca asked.
The day after you left, there was an attack.
The curly-haired soldier replied grimly.
A whole herd of Allosauruses. I'm not kidding when I say there must have been about 12.
That's terrible,
Haywan gasped.
Did they destroy it?
Nearly,
Cat said.
We managed to hold them off for a while. We had backup flown in and everything. A few helicopters full of whatever soldiers other bases could spare, which wasn't much.
So the plant's still standing? I checked.
It was when I left.
Cat sighed.
God knows what state that place is in now, though. Even with the backup, I don't fancy the chances of it lasting a month.
I'm sorry, I said. That's terrible. You must have good friends down there.
I thought I did,
Cat muttered, and she spat on the ground beside her bloody boots.
But it turns out my comrades weren't all as close as I thought.
Did people turn on each other? I asked with concern. Is that why you left?
In a way,
Cat said.
I really thought we had been through enough hell together to be bonded for life.
We sure have.
Becca flashed me a smile.
You guys must have each other's backs down there, right? Even if you piss one another off occasionally.
The soldier looked up at the sky and put her hands on her hips. She looked like she wanted to either scream or cry, and I got the feeling there had been something more sinister with the bad blood between soldiers at the power plant.
Some of the male soldiers turned out to be assholes,
Cat said eventually.
When I say some of them, I mean most of them. And when I say assholes, I mean utter pieces of shit. There weren't many women down there, and we had a hard enough time proving our worth before all this kicked off.
They tried to rape you?
Becca gasped.
It hadn't gotten to that stage yet,
Cat assured her.
But I overheard them talking in the locker room first. They had gone feral. Talking about which of the women they all wanted for the end of the world. Like we were a buffet bar to pick and choose from.
Fucking pricks, I growled. Dinosaurs taken over the world and they still have time to be predatory assholes?
They started to get cockier,
Cat added.
They weren't keeping the talks in the safety of the locker room anymore. They would do it loudly and around me, like it didn't matter what my opinion on the matter was. There were too many of them to talk back to. It was...
I looked at the corporal's tired hazel eyes and felt a wave of anger surge through my veins. Cat was tough as nails, and I had no doubt she would have died for her comrades in a heartbeat before all this. To think they would repay a fellow soldier like that, when all hell's breaking loose, was utter bullshit.
So you left to get away from them,
Haywan concluded.
It was actually Walston's idea,
Cat said.
He could see what was going on. And he knew if they got much worse, stepping in would cause a riot one of these days. So he advised all the women to move to different bases, or to just leave the military altogether.
Oh, it must have been bad for it to get to that stage.
You could say that.
The corporal nodded.
So we had a choice. Move on, or fight the whole squad.
We all shuffled in our circle and took in the corporal's news. It was horrible to think people had already turned against their allies like that, but somehow, after everything we had seen on the road, it didn't surprise me. Then, why are you here? I asked. Are you looking for your family? We're already on our way to get Becca's mom, but well, maybe after we find her, we could help you—
No,
Cat said as she kicked some dirt with her rigid boots.
My family are all over the place, none of them close. Dad's in France, Mum's in Greece. They retired to separate little sunny villas a few years back.
Okay, I said as I considered the way she wouldn't meet my gaze. So, what was your plan?
Well,
Cat muttered toward her boots.
I know this might seem really fucking random, considering how short the time we spent together was. I knew that if the world was ending, you would be the best guy I know to spend the rest of it with. I mean, all of you, really. You're good people, and I tried to think of who I could trust when I left the plant, and I couldn't stop thinking of Jace. All of you.
We are kind of great,
Becca grinned, and Hei-Wan giggled in agreement. You came all this way just to be with us? I asked, and I couldn't help but smile.
Yeah.
Kat smiled back.
I hope that's not too mental or stalkery sounding. I just know you're a good guy, Jason. And Becca and Hei-Wan are badass bitches. Hell, I would be honored to join you guys if you would let me.
We are in high demand,
Hei-Wan observed with a not-so-subtle smirk.
It's bloody impressive you came all this way on your own,
Becca added.
That can't have been a fun journey to take on.
There were some obstacles,
Kat agreed with a tired grin.
I honestly almost fainted with relief when I saw you guys. I thought I was hallucinating. I've been tracking every route I could think of that's quickest, but then roads were blocked, and the humans are getting mental out there. I figured you would choose the smartest track, though, and, well, here I am. And here you are.
I looked over at the bridge to see that Larry had his eyes fixed on our little group, and nobody else had resurfaced from the fort. Then I looked back at Kat's somewhat red face and her stiff soldier stance, and I couldn't help the pride blooming in my chest. You're serious? I checked. We're your top pick? End-of-the-world team?
Sure are.
Kat chuckled. She had a cheeky, lopsided smile, and it lit up her whole pretty face. I already knew she could be a good addition to our team for several reasons, especially after breaking out of that trap in Peterborough with her. But I didn't want Becca and Hei-Wan to feel like they had no say. After all, we were a family, and my lover's opinions mattered above all else.
I don't need some kind of swearing-in ceremony,
Kat assured us. And she looked a little nervous that we'd turn her away.
I just wanted to tag along for a while. You guys are kind of the only people I have right now.
What do you say? I glanced at the girls and waited for them to respond first before I betrayed my obvious enthusiasm. Hei-Wan copped a calculating scowl that looked a lot like her attempt at being a corporal, and she walked a slow circle around Kat while she looked her up and down. Kat chuckled as the Korean tapped her chin and made a huge show of sizing her up. But then my dark-haired lover cracked a cheeky grin.
I've got a feeling you'll fit in,
Hei-Wan finally decided.
Becca? You fight many dinos on your way up here?
The blonde asked as she took a turn circling the corporal.
Because we mean business. Dino-slaying business.
Oh, I can slay some dinos,
Kat laughed.
Granted, I was almost dino lunch on more than one occasion heading up here, but
you got here.
Hei-Wan nodded sagely.
You've got strength.
Well then, I laughed. I'd say it's decided. Welcome to the team, Kat. The corporal smiled even bigger while my two girlfriends flashed her a pair of sweet grins, and I noticed her shoulders immediately relaxed.
Anything I should know heading in?
Kat asked.
Just the usual,
Becca snorted.
Dinos taking over the world. Blood on just about everything I own.
I think we're starting to get an idea of just how bad the situation could get here real soon, I sighed and rifled my hair. The dino eggs are only the start. I swear I've seen dinosaurs organizing themselves and communicating more and more, but...
Oh, God.
Kat cut in, and her face suddenly fell.
I know you've all been on the road this whole time, so you probably haven't camped out to watch the dinos. But I've seen some really fucked up stuff this week.
Try us.
Hei-Wan snickered.
We've got some stories, too. I've got videos.
Kat replied, and she pulled out her phone from her jacket.
Some I took, and some I saved back when I still had Wi-Fi. You guys might want to prepare yourselves for this.
I didn't know what the corporal was about to show me, but I knew I wasn't going to like it. Even Becca and Hei-Wan looked worried now, and the three of us exchanged a sober glance while we waited in silence.
Here's the first one,
Kat said, and she handed me her phone.
I filmed this at the power plant just before I left.
Becca and Haewon huddled close to me, and I made sure everyone could see the screen before I hit play. The video was shaky to begin with, and Kat's voice, swearing under her breath, was the only noticeable sound. Soon the footage steadied, though, and it showed that she was hidden behind a trunk, filming the Allosaurus herd. There were four of the huge dinos in the frame, and they stood stiller than I had ever seen a carnivorous dino manage before. It was like they were waiting for something, as the sound of screams and gunshots rang out through the tinny speakers of the phone.
"What are they doing?"
Haewon whispered while we stared at the screen. "The power plant is just out of shot, I think," I said, and Kat nodded.
"They're watching the plant?"
Becca asked, her face scrunched up in disgust.
"That's so creepy."
A jeep appeared and rammed into one of the dino's feet in a brave yet stupid attack. The Allosaurus lazily lifted its huge claws and crushed the car in seconds. Then it continued to stare off-screen with the others. There was whisper on the video, which we couldn't hear, and I rewound the video to try and listen.
"That's just me,"
Kat snorted,
losing my mind quietly to myself. "I think I whispered that the soldiers had opened the gate."
Sure enough, a fleet of more jeeps and military motorbikes flew out toward the dinos, and as soon as they did, the dinosaurs charged forward. They veered around the vehicles and lunged straight over the motorbikes, and then they headed straight for the open gate. The camera got shakier as shouts rose up, and it looked like an Allosaurus or two made it through before the gate closed and the video cut out. "They ran into the power plant," I scoffed, as the video screeched and stopped. "They actually waited until the gate had been opened."
"No way,"
Becca whispered with wide eyes.
"No fucking way. They were so patient,"
Haewon gasped.
"It was like they all knew the plan, like they had rehearsed it."
I felt slightly nauseous as I handed the phone back to Kat. Those creatures had waited for the perfect moment to strike. They waited like they had all the time in the world, like they knew they could outsmart us.
"It gets worse,"
the curly-haired soldier said as she scrolled through her phone. "How?" I asked. Kat silently handed me back the device. I braced myself and hit play. The video was taken from what I assumed was a high-up apartment building, which looked down onto an abandoned street. It was dark, and the person holding the camera had a shaky hand as they kept it facing the road below. There was an old white van, and not much else in the shot other than the sidewalk.
They always come at the same time," an Irishman's voice said. "Every night about 9:30. The lads are down now to set up the distraction."
Something was flung onto the road below, and it looked like some kind of animal carcass.
"That's the bait set," the man breathed. "That's a newly dead one. One of the lizardy bastards that got chopped up the other day. We're laying it down as a distraction so the lads can finish them off."
The man stopped talking, and there was silence as he kept filming the road.
"It's quiet for a few minutes,"
Kat explained.
"This is a video my dad sent me. I don't know where he got it from, but I guess it went viral before the internet started to lock up."
I watched the small screen with a furrowed brow and kept my eye on the pile of meat on the road. Becca breathed heavily beside me, and Haewon gripped onto my arm.
"Here they are," the Irishman suddenly hissed. "Here come the fuckers. It's your last night of terrorizing this street, you scaly wankers! The lads are going to bash your fucking brains in!"
Six raptors trotted into view, and they carefully examined the meat offering on the road below them. The cameraman was muttering under his breath, and all of a sudden he cheered as seven burly men leapt out from the parked van, armed with axes and massive kitchen knives. Only one of them had a gun, and he started to open fire with poor aim. Then one of the raptors took a bullet to the foot, and the others quickly leapt on the shooter. The dinos all dove onto the same man together with a screech, and he was dead in seconds.
"They identified the main threat," I said in shock. "They knew to take out the gunman first."
The rest of the men were viciously mauled in a short space of time, and I was about to turn the gruesome video off when the cameraman gasped. One of the dinos looked up, straight into the camera, and it cocked its head to the side. I thought I could already guess what was coming next, but I was wrong. Instead of lunging at the windows, the raptor in the video turned to its herd and roared a bone-chilling scream of a sound. Then they all abandoned their mauled prey to race toward the bottom of the building where I assumed the door was, and the video cut out as the man dropped the camera and screamed. I silently handed Kat back her phone, and the Irishman's scream rang in my head.
"Were they breaking into the flats?"
Becca asked quietly.
"At the end, it was like that raptor told the others. And they knew how to get up to him,"
Haywan added, and her pretty face was paler than usual.
"No,"
Becca said, and she broke away from the circle to pace back and forth.
"No bloody way could they know how to use a flat stairway. There's no way they knew how to get up to him."
"I don't know," I said. "It sure looked that way to me. They could have jumped on the cars and leapt up toward the windows, but they didn't. Do you know what happened to that guy?"
"I know he posted the video,"
Kat shrugged.
"He could have done it right after he filmed it. Or maybe he lived long enough to do it later on. But one thing's for damn sure. These dinosaurs are not going down easy."
"They ignored the meat,"
Haywan noted.
"Do you think they weren't hungry? If they weren't hungry, then why would they be trying to get the camera guy?"
Becca asked nervously. "Because they weren't hunting for food," I said gravely. "They just wanted those people dead." We all stood in a heavy silence, and I could tell everyone needed a moment to process what we'd just seen. I wandered over to the edge of the blocked-up river and stared down at the murky depth. 100 thoughts raced through my mind, and all of them involved dinosaurs becoming smarter than we ever could have dreamed. None of this made me hopeful for the fate of humanity. Even with the best weapons and soldiers available, was there just no way to defeat a threat this massive? "Shit," I whispered to myself, and I glanced over at my girls. Becca looked like she was about to tear her hair out, and she asked Kat to replay the video for her. The blonde bit her nails as she watched the footage over again, and I noticed her swaying back and forth slowly like her anxiety was about to crack. Haywan had sat down on the ground, and she held her rifle on her lap and had shut her eyes. She inhaled deeply, and I guessed it was some kind of meditation to calm down. I watched as the petite Korean nodded to herself every now and then and tapped the rifle with her fingertips. I hated seeing them both worried, and I wanted to be able to protect them from anything. So far, I had managed. But it was becoming clear that I was up against something potentially undefeatable. Still, we had survived so much since Cambridge, and clearly we were doing well enough for a military official to want to join us. That was the silver lining, at least. There was something calming about Kat's presence, even among the chaos and bad news she had brought us from the south. She was tough and more than capable of handling herself if she needed to, yet she had come all this way just to be with us. With me. I watched the curly-haired soldier put a comforting hand on Becca's shoulder as the video ended once more, and I knew we would be stronger with her on our team. "Hey, Kat," I said. "Is it okay if I have a minute alone with Becca and Haywan?"
"Of course,"
the corporal nodded.
"I'll go check in with Mr. Bridgeguard over there, see if he's spotted anything."
Kat marched over to the local man, and I was amused to see that he looked slightly terrified as she approached. "You both okay?" I asked gently as Haywan got back to her feet.
"I guess we have to be,"
Haywan said, although there was still fear in her blue eyes as she looked up at me.
"What the hell, Jason?"
Becca muttered.
"We've come so far and defeated so much. How can it possibly be getting worse so fast? We've only barely begun to fight this and..."
"I don't have the answers. I wish I did. I know that no matter what these fuckers throw at us, we'll stick together."
"That's for damn sure,"
Becca nodded.
"I still can't believe Kat drove all this way for us. Well, I mean, I do get it, because you're the most amazing guy in the apocalypse, but it's still mad. I think she could help us,"
Haywan said with a glance over at the soldier.
"She's smart, and she's stubborn. We need as many good people as we can get."
"I agree," I said. "I just didn't want you two to think I needed anyone else. I love you both so much. You mean the world to me."
"We love you too, Jason,"
Haywan smiled.
"But Kat could be the start of something great. I think we made the right call.
Becca nodded.
You have to be pretty special to fit in with us. But I already know I'm going to like this chick.
She is awesome, I grinned. I'm not sure how I got this lucky, but... Well, I guess we officially have our third badass babe on the team.
So, shall we get back to our bargaining?
Becca asked.
I feel like Kat's uniform has got that bridge lot shaking in their boots. Let's go,
Haywan said excitedly. The three of us strode back toward the bridge, and I let my eyes wander down the toned figure of the corporal ahead. She had her arms crossed and her boots planted firmly beneath her, and the taut backside of her bloody fatigues left very little to the imagination. Apparently, I wasn't the only one admiring the view, because Becca let out a low whistle beside me.
Our team just got even hotter,
the Brit observed.
Look at those glutes. I'm looking,
Haywan snickered. You're as bad as those soldiers she just left behind, I pointed out under my breath.
Jason?
Becca snorted, and she sent me a huge grin.
I think you've missed the point here. That gorgeous slice of military ass drove here. For you. You heard her as plain as I did.
She didn't exactly say that's what she had in mind, I tried. But Haywan loudly interrupted me.
Let's get going, Corporal,
the Korean called with a playful salute to our newest member. Kat smiled over her shoulder at us, and her lopsided grin lit up her hazel eyes. Then a thunderous, crackling sound tore through the air, and I knew too well what it meant. Becca, Haywan, and I instantly dove for cover behind our bikes as we scanned the sky, and we found the portal looming just above the river. I kept my eyes locked on the growing tear as it widened, and from this angle, I could actually see a dark, black, stormy sky swirling in its depths while distant winged beasts dove into treetops. I had a front-seat glimpse into another universe.
Holy fucking shit!
Becca breathed as she clutched my arm, but I couldn't even form words. I stared at the portal's innards while the tumult inside rolled with wings, roars, and thunderheads. But then the ancient creature started soaring toward the tear in our sky, and for a moment I wondered if they'd veer away and change their course. Maybe the portal would close before they made it through. But as I heard the bone-chilling screams of the fast-approaching visitors, I knew this wouldn't be the case. 3 seconds later, the pterodactyls converged into a single line, and the whole flock dove through the breach and into our world.